4:30 downtown Tuesday afternoon, and our weekly opportunity to talk a little Celtics basketball with John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. How's your Tuesday?
Tuesday is going great.
Glad to hear that. I'm still basking in the glow of that win over Memphis. Yeah, once in a while, especially coming on the heels of that Lakers game, a nice blowout win feels pretty good to watch.
Yeah. Even if it's against the Memphis Hustle, they had two of the 15 players on their standard NBA roster were available in that game. Three 10-day guys, three emergency 10-day guys, and three two-way guys. So, you know, hey, at least we know, like, the Celtics generally have a history of not performing to their abilities in those situations. But in this one, they did. They got the job done. They got that 40-point win, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, and got to clear the bench a little bit and get all kinds of people some playing time, including that first NBA basket for Jordan Walsh.
Yeah, nice to see. The fans really wanted it. Fans were really cheering for that. The last time he got into the game for Boston in garbage time, they really wanted him to get it. So in this one, it was a 3-on-2 break, I believe. He got a clear lane to the basket, got the bucket, and got to keep the game ball with no Giannis Antetokounmpo in sight. He got a chance to hold on to the ball, and that was a nice moment for him, nice moment for the team. And it was, just good to see.
Now, realistically, when they're playing actual NBA competition, how deep can Joe Mazzulla go and still feel pretty good about calling on his bench?
I feel like they can go probably like 8 deep. You got your top 6, obviously, with Horford. You have Pritchard. You got Sam Hauser. You can go a 9th with maybe O'Shea Brissett or somebody else, but I think Brissett's the guy who's been playing a little bit better lately, but I would say 8 is their comfort level, and even when the playoffs come around, we might see it down to 7. So it's for now they can. I mean, look, as the playoffs, as the regular season goes on, and this stretch heading into the All-Star break, they can go to 9 or 10 just to make sure guys get their rest. But it'll definitely get pared down as the playoffs come around.
John, what does the injury to Joel Embiid do to the picture in the East?
Well, Joel Embiid, I mean, that's a really tough injury there. And he's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks, so he's not going to come back probably another for a while after that. That changes the dynamic of the Eastern Conference a little bit. You got Cleveland and New York, who both have won 9 of their last 10 and are making their charge. Cleveland is tied with Milwaukee now for 2nd. Percentage points ahead of them. New York is right there, a game behind. And Philly is just kind of struggling. They can probably stay above the play-in line, but that's just so tough because so much of what they do flows off of Joel Embiid. And I would expect them to kind of level off a bit, maybe drop a bit. I don't know if the Pacers will be good enough to pass them. Maybe they will. I don't think Orlando or Miami or any of those other teams will be good enough to do it. So we're looking at a team that's going to be sitting there in the potential 3-6 playoff matchup, which will be interesting. There is a world where Embiid comes back for the playoffs. If he walks into a 3-6 matchup where they don't have to face Boston until potentially the conference finals, it could end up being advantageous for them. They could end up having a better road. But for now, it hurts the Sixers. And we'll see if the Cavs, Bucks, Knicks can take advantage of that.
Speaking of the Knicks and the Cavaliers, did you see this coming from either of those teams at the start of the season?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I just wondered if you saw this hot streak in the way the Knicks and the Cavaliers have played, if you saw that coming at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought the Cavs could be a challenger for the top, a top seed. I really looked at them as one of the wild cards in that Boston, Milwaukee, Philly kind of triumvirate. I thought that the Cavs could be right up there challenging for 3rd. So it's it's not surprising to see the Cavs start to figure it out. I think they've been struggling with injuries and stuff. So I always thought the Cavs could make some noise. The Knicks, they're really stepping up. I know OG and Anobi has been hurt, but just the trade, his impact, the momentum that's given the Knicks has been really good. The Knicks, it's a little surprising to see them winning, 9 of 10, and, what, they win 9 in a row. But they were always going to be potentially in this mix for that 4-5, because it's just such a jumbled mess with those teams in that mix. But I did think the Cavaliers had a chance to make some noise.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Trade rumors abound always this time of year. There are some things out there, but as you wrote, one of those that's unlikely to happen is Kelly Olynyk coming home.
Yeah, I don't know why, Rich, that keeps coming up, because it's just unlikely. I think it's just people who don't understand the full scope of the rules that Kelly Olynyk comes up, and people say, you hear the rumors like, oh, the Celtics are inquiring about Kelly Olynyk. Well, what does that mean? Are they inquiring about whether he's going to get bought out? Because if he gets bought out, there's some potential there for him to join the Celtics. But as a trade, he makes $12.2 million. It's just enough for him to be able to be eligible to be bought out. Signed after he's bought out. But as a trade goes, it's so complicated. Either you give up Al Horford, which the Celtics are not going to do, or you stack a bunch of salaries, which is kind of like it borders on not being legal. So I don't know where the rumors are coming from, but he's just not going to be one of those guys that the Celtics, I'd be surprised, shocked, if he's able to get acquired via trade.
Is there a big out there that they might be able to find a place for?
Well, Andre Drummond seems to be like the one that has the most potential because of the money, and he plays for the Chicago Bulls, and that's a team that's kind of spreading water, kind of trying to get into that that 9-10 play-in spot. So I don't know that I don't know what Chicago's trying to do. I don't know what their motivation is, but he's the most likely guy that the Celtics can get if the Bulls make him available. And that's, I don't think anybody knows what the Bulls are doing. I don't think the Bulls know what the Bulls are doing.
Tomorrow night, they've got the Atlanta Hawks, a team that's been scuffling for much of the year. Will the Celtics be at full strength tomorrow night for that one?
It seems so. Yeah, Jaylen Brown practiced. He seems fine. I don't see anybody on the injury report, although I don't know if somebody's come up since we've been on the phone. But I think everybody's fine. Joe Mazzulla at practice today said everybody's fine. So unless there's a surprise, I would expect that the Celtics will be at full strength, yeah.
All right. We're looking forward to it tomorrow night. John, great talking with you. As always, have a terrific rest of your week, and we'll chat again next Tuesday.
You got it. I'll talk to you then.
See Thanks, John. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast every Tuesday here on Downtown.